Hey, welcome to a brand new episode of Game Changer Podcast. I'm David Villa. I'm here with my lovely bride, Diana Villa. Good day. How are you?
What the heck are you from? Australia?
I don't know.
I don't even get it.
Maybe I am. Maybe we have someone listening from Australia. Is that such a bad thing? No, it's not. But I'm not. I'm from Tampa, Florida. But hope you're having a wonderful day. And if you are with us today, we're going to dive into the topic of marriage. And we've been married 30 years, just celebrated 30 years together. And, you know, I would say, like some people say, yeah, we were married for 30 years and we dated for five, but we dated for about 3 months. And
I thought you would say 3 days.
About 3 months ish. And then we got married and we are still together. She has not killed me. And, And so I think
thought about it a few times.
I'm sure. We're going to talk a little bit about it. You know,
strike that from the record.
Yeah, Dateline, if you're listening. We're just going to talk a little bit about. We have some notes here, but a lot of this is going to come from our heart, right off the get. This is going to be a 2-part episode, so we'll stop it somewhere in the middle, then come back, and it'll be 2 parts, 2 different podcasts. So let's just go into it a little bit here. Let's start with communication. You know, by the way, can we just say this? I guess putting this disclaimer out there from the very beginning, and, you know, and it's not a secret. I mean, those who work with us, our family, those who are around us, they've seen the good, the bad, the ugly from us. We're extremely passionate people. You know, we have worked together as well as been married to one another for 30 years. We've also run a business for, you know, for 27 years. And, you know, we haven't always done in a lot what's right. We can write a book. We often say, Diana, probably what this thick you say.
Of what not to do? Lots of things. I have lots of things that I can write about what not to do.
How many of those things are about me, like what I shouldn't do? Or what the husband shouldn't do?
I said what I'm not supposed to do.
That's a thick book?
What not to do.
Is that a thick book?
It's very thin. It's very actually thin. Very like cliff
note. It's like a bite-sized book.
Cliff notes.
Mine, on the other hand, to one she's going to write for what...
Encyclopedia size, yes.
Novel.
Like, it's like several volumes.
Like Lord of the Rings style.
Yeah.
So we're not experts we're not experts in living it out our entire 30 years by far. Probably not even the majority of that, but here's the thing, I think we are qualified experts in, you know, what not to do, so therefore we know what to do. And always keeping God in the middle. And so, and even when we are as passionate individuals that didn't have any mentorship when it came to this, you know, you were 17, I was 20. We didn't have any mentorship. Both of our families, we came from broken families. So, you know, the odds were against us from the get-go, but we had God. And so hopefully we can just help somebody. And we won't get into, maybe one day we'll get into like our complete testimony and things like that, because there's a whole lot of other things that threw a lot of other odds against it. But I just want to start with, let's go over the basics. Let's start with communication. All right, Colossians 4:6. Why don't you read that?
Let your conversations.
By the way, you see that how good that communication is there? I said, why don't you read that? So, you know, I'm letting you do it.
Okay.
That's a form of like communication.
Except for you're still talking. And actually that is the what not to do at work right there, everybody.
Chapter 1 in Diana's book to David.
So
stop talking.
Let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Colossians 4:6.
Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So I think our marriages only work because of God, but also I think that, you know, whether we've done it or not, our commitment is to always learn how to better communicate in a way that honors one another and doesn't diminish each other. Now, we've done that. We've done it recently. We've done it a lot because we're passionate people. We carry our emotions on our sleeves, but we're committed to learning how and to get better at communicating with one another in a way that honors one another. And we've done that even if we're dead wrong or really mad at one another, even though we've gotten into disagreements in front of people that are close to us. we've also guarded ourselves to protect and cover one another multiple times when it comes to communication. And I think communication is really the binding force in not only our marriage, but in others. When we communicate respectfully, it improves our intimacy, our joy, and our connection. So I think back of the many senseless arguments, right, between you and I can't help but ask, was it worth it? You know, did I really, you know, need to raise my voice like that? You know, what was lying beneath the surface? Countless arguments over the years. And what do you think?
You know, I think over the course of time, I've begun to examine reacting versus responses. Mm-hmm. And I think that I would say a bulk of our marriage, we operated in reaction, but reaction is often driven by emotion. And it's an emotion to what has happened, already did happen, what we're in the middle of. And so I feel like, you know, it's always a journey. And I think if we're not careful, we could always retreat back to things that we used to do, which seems typical. But I think for me personally, it's one of those things that I've been trying to make sure my responses are not based on what's going on at that moment, but they are methodical and they are, you know, responses that give honor to God. So at the end of the day, no matter how we, you know, whatever we're going through, we have a responsibility to be God honoring with our, you know, speech, with our actions. And when you put it up to that, like, I can say honestly, I don't always, you know, succeed in that. But I think when you find yourself reacting, I think you can be very quick to pause it and go, hey, you know what, I let that get the best of me, and acknowledge, like, hey, that wasn't appropriate. The reason why I feel that way may be justified, but it's not, still doesn't justify my actions. And so I think really noticing that and recognizing that and putting into practice, like, it's okay to, like, pause. I feel like sometimes when you're in the heat or the thick of a argument, it's very easy to go, you know, sideways. And so I was just talking with someone last week, and I said, you know, it's difficult, and I can't say we've always done it, but maybe beforehand setting some safe words that you know that, hey,
in words, not words like stupid or dummy.
Some words that automatically, like, and those have to be predetermined. So I think the way you keep your words appropriate is, like, you know, I mean, how many of us have said something, as soon as we said it, we thought, oh, that probably wasn't appropriate, and that's probably going to get a reaction that I don't want. But I think if you predetermine some boundaries of, you know, discussing things fairly, mm-hmm. arguing fairly, maybe have a safe word, maybe have a safe motion that when this person means we're going to pause this right now, we're not going to forget about it. That's another, you know, I think hard thing in communication. Communication is listening, but it's also not ignoring.
Yeah.
You have to come back to it. So I think those are some things that I think help.
Well, we're going
to
get to some of these points you just mentioned before we get ahead of ourselves. So let's look at one of them here. We haven't done this over the years. We did this wrong many, many times. We used to, you know, not only did we do this wrong, we would get to a place where we would use, like, our family members in the past probably against each other. You know, you're just like your dumb, you know, dad, or you're just like your stupid mom or whatever. Or, you know what, that's what your mom did. You know, we'd use those types of situations to try to hurt one another. So we have to stick with the issue. Here's a point you can write down. Stick with the issue. When we use arguments as opportunities, and we've done this to bring up the past issues, like, you know, you're just like your sorry dad, or, you know, if you use that, I could promise you that that's not a God thing. Number one. Number two, it's never going to work out in your favor. It's always going to bring a defense mechanism up. And so, you know, when we use arguments as opportunities to bring up past issues, you know, we bruise our spouse with our words.
But I think, honestly, you have to look at that from the standpoint, but those may be unresolved issues that, instead of going back to them and finding resolve, we ignore them and put them under the rug. And if you sweep, you know, dirt under the rug, it eventually comes out. And it doesn't come out as a whole dust ball. It comes out in pieces at different times and in different ways. And so I think part of that is, it's really important, is why.
Well, I think maybe that would be a different point. you know, dealing with it. But I mean, so let's look at it. But I don't think that we could justify. There is no justifying using arguments as an opportunity to bring up past issues. So we're trying to do is cover all the bases here. So let's say one of the other bases, and I'm sure that's one of the points here, because that we've got that talk, you know, talks about that, maybe dealing with it, making sure, but starting with sticking with the issue, you know, maybe, you know, sticking with the issue. So the issue is the issue. Don't humiliate, embarrass, or belittle the other person. You know, that's not our goal. Instead, whenever we find ourselves in a heated conversation, try to stick to the issue at hand and not bring up the past, because it's very difficult to not do, especially when there's unresolved issues. But at the same time, it's never going to ever. I mean, it doesn't really matter if you've done this. Everyone listening has done this. We've done this many times. I don't think it's ever worked. You know, I don't think it ever brings resolve. I don't think it ever brings, you know, it never accomplishes anything positive. It only hurts more. What do you think? I mean, don't you think it's important to stick to the issue?
Yes.
If you can't tell which one of the ones in our relationship maybe have an issue with that, I don't know. I don't know, because, I mean, I don't know. How about this? Listen to understand. Here's my issue, right? Listen to understand. Don't listen to respond. There you go. So there's one for David right there. All right? Listen to understand. Don't listen to respond. Go at it. Come on. Come on. Take me on. What do? I listen to respond, right? A lot. Isn't that probably?
No, I say you listen to react.
Listen to, okay.
Where I started that.
So listen
to. Listening to respond is I'm going to close my mouth.
I'm sorry, I listen to react.
I'm going to open my ears and I'm going to respond accordingly.
Well, but you know what? I think it's, but I got down here as a point. Listen to understand. That's what we're supposed to do. Don't listen to respond. So yeah, you got to respond, but only after you understand. So if you're listening to respond, then you're not hearing. If I'm listening just so I can pick out a piece, which I've done, you know, if I'm listening to you just so I can find that thing that you said that exposes the weakness in you, just so I can respond, that's wrong, right? I'm not understanding.
Well, I think listening to bring resolve is probably a better way to say that, because you have to understand, but you always have to have the motive of resolve.
Let me ask you this, though. Can I actually resolve it without understanding what's wrong?
No.
Okay. So I have to listen and understand first.
With the motive to resolve.
All right. So we're going to add something to the point. Listen to understand with the motive to resolve. Don't just listen.
Well, because I think sometimes we listen to react with the motive to win. Mm-hmm. And the fact of the matter is there's no winner in those types of situations. You both lose,
right?
Because, you know, one person's drained, the other person may feel like, you know, rocky, but when you come to reality, you've just caused a wedge or a divide. So no one wins in that, in isolation or that separating. So I feel like you have to, you know, make sure that you are listening to understand to resolve versus listening to understand to respond. Listening to respond, you know, to bring resolve to not. There's no winners. When someone wins, you know, somebody loses. And the fact of the matter is if one of us lose, we both lose.
I struggle with this big time. You know, the other person is talking. We have to discipline ourselves to let them finish. I struggle with that because I'm a lot of times the salesman and the business person in me, the control, the choleric, the controller in me. And if guys or gals, if you struggle with, or I'd say struggle with, if you have that choleric gene where you're a controlling person, then here's the thing. That's your temperament, right? Choleric is not a bad thing. There's an element of that that God gave you, that God placed in you. He placed that in you as a characteristic that's probably could be used for some very positive, you know, accomplishments in life. But if you're in communication and you listen to respond and not listen to understand, and then, you know, you are waiting for them to finish, you know, so you cut them off and just so you can respond, it's a discipline to you know, that we have to apply to ourselves to let someone finish. It's a discipline. It's something that is genuinely going to have to be something that you work out as a discipline.
You know, I looked it up, and Amplified is a really good version for James 1:19. And the one, the verse that's known in that is, you know, to be slow to speak, mm-hmm. and swift to hear. But in the Amplified Version, it says, understand this, my beloved brothers and sisters. Let everyone be quick to hear. Be careful, thoughtful listener. Mm-hmm. Slow to speak, a speaker of carefully chosen words, and slow to anger, patient, reflective, forgiving.
That's good.
That's important, you know, because we often want to use our words as a weapon. Mm-hmm. And the problem with that is weapons leave wounds. Yep. And sometimes they're deep and sometimes they're shallow, but they're still wounds nonetheless. So I think, you know, it's really important to meditate that on that when you are dealing with, you know, life struggles and resistance and, you know, frustrations in marriage. Because if you don't, it'll, you know, if you're not quick to hear, you're going to assume, mm-hmm. and you know what they say about assuming. Yeah. If you don't listen, you're going to try and resolve, but you haven't really heard what the issue. And sometimes I think for women, you don't want someone to resolve it for you. You want someone to listen and go, hey, I hear what you're saying, and ask, what are you needing in this? So I think if you're listening beyond the words, and you're listening to body language, and you know, and that's not words, right? But they're saying words, but body language sometimes says more than words. And you're also listening to emotion,
yeah.
you know, so you can see, is this an angry situation? Is this a hurtful situation? So you have to listen to emotion. And I think when you are able to pull back and do that, I think it helps you respond accordingly.
So, men, you're hearing this. This is it's up to us, you know, to speak one another's languages. So if women are saying, she's saying that they use body language and, you know, as well as natural language, that we have to hear what they're saying. We have to speak that language. And it's something that really is foreign to us by nature. But can I say this? As a man, you know, and this is something my wife will agree with, and she's a woman, but I'll say this to women, you have to learn how to speak men's language as well, because we don't understand body language all the time. So where we both have to learn from one another and speak one another's language, and then also be willing to help each other out. Where, because I'm going to read something that I wrote down here that I think is going to really step on a lot of our toes. It steps on my toes. I know it'll step on your toes. So, well, it will.
Did you write it for that motive?
I mean, it steps on my toes like crazy. So yeah, I wrote it for the motive of really putting something down that is going to, it's going to affect us all. There's not a single person that maybe you've gotten this right sometime. Okay. But the fact that we've got it written down here shows you we probably have it right more than most, because of the fact that even looking at it and admitting it exists. But arguing with our spouse isn't about being right. I want to say that again. Arguing with our spouse isn't about being right. It's about recognizing where we are wrong. And I'm going to just be honest with you. I would say the majority of arguments that we've been in 30 years, I did not enter those arguments, nor did I exit those arguments, you know, trying to recognize where I was wrong. Nor did you, you know, so I'll just say that for you.
I don't need you to say it for me.
So, yeah. But can I say this? So how imperative is it that we flip this around? Because it's about not being right, but recognizing where we're wrong. And arguments, if we look at it that way, they're a gift. They don't feel that way. It's like, you know, you're like, okay, well, that's like, it feels like a lump of coal on Christmas gift, right? But it's a gift allowing us to see what frustrates and upsets our spouse, giving us an inside look into their heart. That is so hard. Because you don't like that person if you let emotions get involved in it, right? At that moment, you don't like that person. You know, you don't want to see the good. You don't even want to see their heart. You want to stomp their heart, you know? And, but it's imperative. And if you go, man, I am so far, because we're thinking, I'm so far down the wrong path. Well, it's because there's a lot of things that we've allowed to happen. And all we have to do is just turn around. Really, the repentance is just turn around and go the other way and start doing it right. Eventually, you'll be out of the hole you're in, and you'll be at level playing field.
You know, when I'm listening to this, it sounds good. But the truth of the matter is, I think you already have to have some predetermined ways. If you're going to be in a household, in a marriage, doing life with somebody, even with God in the center, I think you already have to have some predetermined ways that you're going to handle conflict. Mm-hmm. I think not having those predetermined ways, and that's going to be a combination of where you came from and where that other person came from, right. Because they are different. Families are different. I make jokes a lot, and we talk a lot about our children, like watching the differences of how their families, how our kids were raised in a very loud, rambunctious, passionate, and then how some of our children's spouses are so much more like laid back, and watching them filter through things in life because they're a combination of where they were raised and how they were raised with their beliefs and their morals and their personalities, and to find a way for them to meld that. It's been interesting. And sometimes I think, you know, man, that wasn't very good of us to example in front of them. But I think if you already predetermine, mm-hmm. you know, when you're getting into, you know, a place where you're, you know, you're going to start life with someone, start predetermining how can we resolve conflict fair in yeah. a way that is God honoring, but yet honoring of one another and brings resolve. So I think, you know, having a plan ahead of time
yeah.
would be a really good. I mean, no one talked to us about that. I mean, no. We didn't have a plan. We were every part of our life was OJT. Yeah. It was like OJT, on-the-job training, like all the way.
Right.
Probably the first 28 years of marriage was like OJT.
Yep.
But I think putting some of those safeguards, and we talk about when, you know, before getting married, they talk about like your finances and your spiritual beliefs and all of that. But we don't talk about, you know, conflict's going to come, resistance yeah. going to come, issues are going to come. How are you going to do that? So I think predetermining is pre-planning how to do that is really a
like
big
a playbook,
thing.
Amanda.
Yeah.
So next point, by the way, this is our 400th episode, and you know we wanted to talk about marriage. We've talked about it before, but you know we feel like that God is working through marriages, and the enemy is always trying to attack marriages. And maybe you're married, maybe you're not married, maybe you were married, maybe you're believing to get married, but you know these are good things for you to have. And but the third point on our 400th episode of Game Changer, what an incredible number, is, you know, you watch boxing or MMA or any kind of matches, and they have the bell rings, right? Ding, ding, ding. And they go back to their corners, you know, and they get that break. Well, the next one is kind of along the lines of that. Take a 5-minute timeout. When emotions get heated, it's kind of what you were talking about at the beginning. I knew this point was coming, so I didn't want you to get ahead of the deal. But, you know, when water starts boiling, back away and take a break. Breathe. Collect yourself. And then approach the situation different. And after we take the time to cool off, think about how are we truly feeling? Can we continue with the conversation and grow from the disagreement? This is so hard for me because I have a point to prove, right? But going back into the one before, that I'm not in this argument to win. I'm in this argument to figure out where I'm wrong. And so you have to come into this thing with resolution in mind. So it takes a whole mind change. If not, you'll never get through this like 5-minute deal because, you know, what if at the last minute, right before the bell rings, you know, you're getting ready to take a break and then you take a shot at me and you say something that just stings a little bit, right? And I'm like, I can't go into the corner in this 5-minute break, right? With letting her have the upper hand. I mean, especially when that woman is wrong, you know, or something like that, you know, or especially when that man is, you know, he said that, I can't believe that. Does he really feel that way? And so, you know, we try to one up each other, and instead of taking a break, and then, you know, if we allow ourselves to take a cool off period, then it also, and sometimes we've had those things forced upon us, maybe even at the office, things like that, or our kids around, you know, before, earlier in life, you know, you're kind of forced to take that break. And when you do, you know, you find out that you will cool off and cooler heads do prevail. And so, I mean, what's your thoughts on that? I mean, taking a break, walking away.
I think that
away.
Still boils back down to predetermining how you're going to handle conflict.
Like the rules of engagement.
The rules. Like you need to lay it out like, you know, that.
Sign
and you can't say, hey, in the middle of it, hold someone, like blame someone in that, but I think that's where I feel like maybe having a safe word of that automatically diffuses the situation where it's like, hey, we need to stop for a second. Mm-hmm. But it's not a pointing at you or pointing at me, but it's a safe word that says, hey, this right now, we have to take a pause right now because it's probably going to get ugly if not.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is once your mouth opens up with words, you can't take them back, unfortunately.
No.
And sometimes it takes a long time to heal from those or to let those things go. So I think it's better to have a stupid safe word that will automatically trigger, hey, stop, and let's pull away, with the mindset that we're going to come back when we've cooled down to be able to discuss it. I was listening to a podcast with Craig Groeschel, and he was talking about meetings and having an agenda. You know, I think sometimes you're having discussions about like serious things and maybe you've already thought about it. Like, you know, tonight when I get home and I talk to my husband about this, we both know and he knows. So you guys are, you know, you're on your own mind, you're putting together your points. But I think maybe having even an agenda, if you know it's like a topic that you have to discuss, maybe it's how you're handling your finances or how you're raising your children or how you're walking out your faith or how your career is, you know, bubbling over into family time, whatever that is. Maybe if you know it's something that you have to discuss and it could be a heated discussion, having an agenda for it that not only goes through it and you can methodically talk about those things with a guideline, right? A guideline will keep you on task or on those key points. Like, these are the key points, but you also go ahead and have what is the resolve of it. We're going to work together to what accomplish this, whatever. So maybe having that, he was talking about it from a business perspective, but I could see where you could also apply that in relationships of, because if not, that's where I think without some sort of outline or agenda, that's where I think you can kind of pull things back from your, you know, your past versus staying true to, you know, the topic at hand.
So she mentioned stepping back or pulling back. So speaking of that, we're going to pause here for this lesson and we're going to wrap this episode up. And if you're enjoying this discussion on marriage, then we're going to pick right back up with the next point next week. So make sure you don't miss the next episode of the Game Changer Podcast. And by the way, if you want to subscribe to us, make sure you find us on YouTube, Game Changer Podcast. Click the bell to receive notifications and make sure you share it and like it. Comment. We'd love to hear your comments. If this is a blessing to you, please comment. We see all the comments. And also, if you're on social media and you want to follow us, make sure you tag us on either Game Changer Podcast on Instagram or myself or Diana on Instagram. Our handles will be on the screen. And then you can just tell us, you know, what God's doing in your life. We'd love to see that. Also, the Game Changer app by IPD Agency has just passed 13,000 downloads. A lot of resources there as well. We'd love to connect with you. So we love you guys, and we'll see you next week on another episode of Game Changer Podcast.